What a goal!
The League of Ireland is back.
Every Friday night, it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland.
Make sure you listen to the League of Ireland exclusively on Off the Ball.
Become a member now and join in the obsession.
Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! I hope you're both happy.
You're involved as well, pal.
I wasn't even here yesterday.
You got what you wanted.
You're right there.
You got him out of the job.
You're right there in the thick of it.
You know? You got what you wanted.
Do you think...
It's nearly unprecedented until we realised a few minutes ago that Wales had done this before during the Six Nations. 19 years ago.
Mike Ruddock.
Yeah.
Another Grand Slam winning coach.
On Valentine's Day and all. How cold was that? Now, when you were both lambasting Welsh rugby yesterday, did you ever in your wildest dreams expect that within an hour of the show finishing that Warren Gatland was going to lose his job? It did feel like it was going to peter out and meander to 3 weeks' time.
You're rewriting history here.
Oh, I'm not. I'm spouting facts. What do you think?
I think when we were talking with Chris Jones yesterday, that made it feel more imminent than the end of the tournament, that actually something might happen. That's what my takeaway from talking to Chris Jones was. Oh, actually, all right. This is we're not talking about this in the hypothetical. We're talking about this, and it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when, and what's the point in going on?
He did ask, what's the point in going on?
That
question.
It's just a waste of time if everybody's going to leave. And in fairness to Gatland, he's not taking a payoff from them, which he's totally entitled to do. Now, apparently, there was a break clause after this year with 2 years to go to the World Cup. Maybe it's like a much smaller amount of money that he's turning his back on, but he's still turning his back on some money. So, in fairness to him, but watching Brian O'Driscoll last night, he was making the point that the former players seem to be very pissed off with the amount of credit that Gatland got the first time round for their wins on the pitch. And secondly, the team looked like a badly coached side in recent games. And I mean,
well, that is something we touched on with Chris Jones as well, is just how poor they've been in these two games. And how inexperienced their coach looks in the first two games. I think if you look inexperienced when you're a vastly experienced coach, the only real common denominator is that it looks like you've lost interest. And it looked like he had.
Well, from that post-match where he's kind of laughing.
The Australia game in November.
All the way back to November, you're like, I mean, and then they did a review after that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
And they found that, no, we're still this is the right course of action. Let's keep going. We're all in this together. Or else the money was too much at that point.
It's like 3 weeks shy of a year when Gatland offered his resignation. He offered to go after last year's Six Nations and they wanted to keep him. So I think it was a very informal offer.
Hey, look, if you don't think I'm the man for the job, that's okay. I'll go. That's not quite the...
You can word it as informally as you like. But if you put it out there and the organisation wants you to go, they'll absolutely take you up on that.
I think that if you don't put it in writing...
If you really wanted the person to go, you could be like, can you send me an email about that?
Yeah. But, no. You know, whereas actually when it comes by email, you're like, how do you know
that he just said it in passing
that's
in the
it
canteen?
That's how it was reported.
That he was just, he just casually went in, I have an idea.
If you think I'm not the right man.
But that is offering your resignation. It is. They could have taken him up on it.
They could have, but you'd have to go back then. It's a much more awkward thing than actually here.
It's already awkward. He said, do you want to sack me?
Yeah. But then you're into, well, you'll have to pay me. Anyway, look.
And all they had to do was wait a year and then he wanted to take the money. So they really wanted this to work. They really wanted him to stay. And I thought the opposite, actually, after speaking with Chris Jones. I thought he probably will see these last few games out. And maybe, you know, they'll do something against Ireland, which is where the conversation yesterday come from, which is where we're putting all these permutations of how could Wales possibly get anything from this Irish side. And I wonder now, 24 hours on, does the change of the man at the helm help that at all?
Doubt it.
I think it does. I think it immediately removes the pall of doom and the selection issues where they were playing a 12, a 10 who hadn't played international rugby. He's just going to pick a team that he can trust, that want to be there, that all feel like they have a fair crack at the whip. So there's an immediate bounce. There's obviously an immediate bounce. And I think it's now not going to be a 25-point automatic victory.
Why?
Because
that makes no sense.
He's picking the wrong player. What do you mean it makes no sense? The new manager bounce is one of the most...
10 days beforehand.
The new manager bounce is one of the most obvious things in world sport. It exists. You can't deny it exists.
I don't know if it exists in rugby.
Well, why would it not exist in rugby and exist everywhere else?
Because rugby is a far more formalistic kind of game than football would be, say. Where football, I feel it's a lot easier to prepare, not like to prepare in a short period of time for something, for a game that's coming up. Whereas with rugby, it's so intricate that I don't think 10 days out, you can go, well, I already have a plan against play against Ireland. We can implement that. That'll be done. Where Ireland have been doing this for under Farrell or /Easterby, whatever, for a good few years.
I'm not saying they're going to win, Arthur. I'm saying that I don't expect them to get beaten by 25 points anymore.
Well, the bookmakers disagree with you.
There you go. And that's why books exist. Because there's a way to the market that thinks of one side or the other, you know?
I don't know. I think it's... I don't buy that, but we'll see.
We will. We had Chris Jones on the BBC on yesterday, and he kind of made us think that something was imminent because he was making the point that we are so far steeped in blood, essentially, that there's no point in him remaining for the rest of these. If this decision is going to happen at the end, you may as well rip the bandage off now. And I understand some of that thinking. Did you expect it?
Did I expect it? Do you know, it's one of those things where with Welsh rugby at the moment, I mean, who am I to throw stones with English rugby at the moment? We've got our own problems to deal with. It's expect the unexpected. I think he tried and spoke to Abby Tierney, was it 12 months ago? Sort of immediate post-match gut, sort of visceral reaction. You can have my resignation now. Turn it down, review, get through to the end of this season. But I think you're right in saying that once you've totally become the story, then I think it's probably the time. And I believe in an honourable capacity, I believe he's turned down any sort of severance. He's just said, look, Wales has given me the most extraordinary previous 12 years. It hasn't quite worked out as I'd like. I think it's just best for all parties. I know that I don't know enough about regional rugby and the next line of Welsh coaches to come through. The sort of left field thought that came to me was post this tournament, post Lions, would Easterby want a top job with his relationship with the Scarlets? Do they have to go back to... Do they get in the boys, get in Jenkins, Stephen Jones, Dwayne Peel, who've all got coaching experience, and surround them with a heavyweight like a DOR behind the scenes that supports them, that gets the crowd off their feet and gets them supporting lads that they've cheered as players? It's such a difficult situation for them. I think the most important thing, I think Ken Owens, I obviously had to use the subtitles on the Welsh language TV post the Italy game. I thought he was brilliant talking about where's the strategy, what's the hope for region, where are the board, where's the visibility? And I think Abby Tierney and their crowd and the board now have to be really present and active and vocal about what it is they're going to do and try and showcase a way, highlight a path to potential recovery of some sort of form of glory.
If you were part of Simon Easterby's nearest and dearest, Will, how would you advise him going forward? So say the ultimate happens here in this Six Nations and he does win the Grand Slam and Ireland do create history, being the first country to win it three times in a row. But ultimately, he's going back to the day job, for want of a better term, once Andy Farrell's finished with the Lions. Do you stay where you are or do you take on this mammoth but potentially very rewarding project in a permanent head coach role with a national side, Wales?
It's fascinating. We've seen a lot of number twos struggle to go to number ones. Andy Robinson, one of the great on-field coaches for England. I mean, like one of the great on-field coaches, stepped into Clive Woods' shoes and the suit didn't quite fit. And I don't want to necessarily draw bad experiences for old friends of mine. Jordan Murphy, fabulous number two, Leicester. Paul Grayson, fabulous number two at Northampton, into the top job. And it hurt them what Simon Easterby seems to have done, although it's only two games in, seems to have been able to transition with a lot of coaching experience behind him and done exceptionally well. Look, what a opportunity for him in the next three games. I don't think he'll be even thinking about it. He ultimately wants to decide and has to decide really whether he wants to be the top man at a nation or is happy being the consigliere. And by the way, you don't have to be the CEO in life. Being the CFO is quite a good job. And some realise at the age of 35, 40 that actually that's not lack of ambition. That's just my skill set. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be at 36,000 feet, but if you tell me where we're going to go, I will find a way to get us there. And some people are more suited to that. So it's absolutely dependent on his temperament. If it is a job title that he wants, the head honcho, then clearly with his experience and time in Wales, it would seem like there's a vast gaping open door for him to walk into, but it comes with baggage.
Brendan, how disappointed are you?
Oh, disappointed. Very disappointed. Very disappointed.
What went wrong? Because you got off to such a wonderful start.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder what went wrong. I have to think about it. Think about it.
Well, what did go wrong?
I have to look and think about it. Think about it deeply, very deeply.
Did it hinge in the end on a bit of genius from Cirelli Bombo?
Bit of genius, bit of magic. Cirelli Bombo, very interesting, very good, yeah. Very good. Three cheers for Cirelli Bombo, very good, very good.
What were you happy with about your side?
Oh, happy. Happy everything. Everything, very good. Very happy with my team.
But you didn't win, did you, Brendan?
Yeah, we didn't win, it's true. Yeah.
Why didn't you win?
Oh, good question, that. Very good question. Win. It's important to win. It is important to win. We must try harder. Absolutely, yeah.
So you think it's a lack of effort?
Oh, lack of effort, lack of effort. I can't think it's a lack of effort. So
what is it, Brendan?
What would it be? Let me think. I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that one. Think about it deeply.